we'll be looking at the idea, the scriptural idea of walking worthy. We're not, we always try to keep it separate, keep this topic separate from salvation, talking about how to be saved, so that the mind that's not familiar with how to be saved doesn't mix up walking worthy with salvation by grace through faith, not of works. How are we saved? We're saved by Jesus Christ, having died our death, my death, your death on the cross. The wages of sin is death. And we're so thankful that he died our death for us, that was due to us, coming to us. And it still is if we don't receive it, if we don't believe that he died for my sins, he died for your sins. And that's the extent of it. There's no behavior requirements, no deportment, works, no deeds must be done. Just believe, lay back. You know, stop your trying to work to be good enough for God. You can't. Nobody can. That's what the Bible proves. And yet he died for all our shortcomings, our sins, transgressions, iniquities, trespasses. They're all died for. Just believe. And what we're going to talk about tonight is for those who have believed. It's about our life and our enablement to live more like Christ wants us to live. If you're not saved, you need that's the entryway, that's the door, that's the starting point. Get saved. The alternative is not good, as you know. So we're going to go ahead and start talking about walking worthy after we're saved. And there are verses, you know, God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we do here. We study God's word to come to the knowledge of the truth as saved people. But we all have to make that decision to trust that Christ had died for our sins, and there's nothing. If we try to add to it, we're not trusting that he did it for us. So let's look at some of these verses about walking worthy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, 12. We're going to look at three of them, three verses. This is the first one. The second one's in Ephesians, then Colossians. But they all point to the same thing. It is important to God. He mentioned it at least three times, many times. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1, second verse of the three. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk. You know what? I missed. there's a paragraph mark there, and it kind of swallowed up the I. That makes more sense when I read it. Let me read it with the I. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Vocation. That voca, it involves calling. That's that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, in other words. And it's Jesus Christ of God that does the calling. Colossians 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, don't forget the and. They're not the same thing. They're a list. In other words, a two-part list. Being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, let's define a couple of terms. Let's define faith and faithfulness. And I know Hebrews 11 verse 1 has a definition of faith for the Hebrews, but I have trouble understanding what it means. And you may also, I don't know. Let's read it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I understand from that definition that faith shows up or makes understandable things that you can't see, but I don't. That doesn't relate to me what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, and I'm not sure what that means either. I know that faith is different from hope, but what does it mean to be the substance of what you hope for? And what does it mean to be evidence of what you can't see? So that's all like a different language to me. I believe that there's another place that defines or describes faith in a way that I can understand it. It's several verses. I think it's six here that I want to read. Starting with Romans, it's all in Romans 4, but we're going to... The second verse will be Romans 18. The first verse is back there in Romans 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham's belief in what God had told him, God counted that for righteousness in him. So... Now, let's go down later in the chapter, down to verse 18. This is going to be Romans 4, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, that's what God had said. So we know what God said, that he would be the father of many nations, and so shall his seed be. Going to verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He had a lot of reason not to believe, didn't he? He's, 90, I think it said? He was about 100. He was about 100 years old. And his wife had been barren, or deadness, age. I think another place says she was 90, or thereabouts. So, had a lot of reason not to believe, but it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith does give glory to God. When you trust what he says, it brings glory to him. That's worship. That's worship, not singing songs. You can worship from singing songs, but a lot of song singing and music is the emotions, not the spirit. The emotions are part of the flesh. It's part of your soul, which is the flesh. So, going on to verse 21 and 22 to close with, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, he being God. What God had promised, God is able to perform. And when you're fully persuaded of that, that's faith. That's the definition that I like there. I look at that one there. And finally, verse 22. Let me read 21 and 22 together. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore... it was imputed to him for righteousness. what was imputed to him for righteousness? Well, back there in verse 3, where we started. That's why we started in verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness, given to him, put to his account. In short, faith is believing. It's relying on, counting on God to be able to do what he said he would do. So as far as salvation, he said he'd save us as sinners. God died, Christ died for the ungodly. It's us sinners that need a Savior. So what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is the characteristic in people of consistently being in full agreement with and commitment and allegiance to the beliefs, goals, and procedures of another person or group. Faithfulness is the characteristic in people of consistently being in full agreement with and commitment and allegiance to the beliefs, the goals, the procedures of another person or group. So faithfulness is a quality that allows a person to be fully trusted by another person or group. That's why they call them faithful. You know, if, when they mean he's regular in attendance, they often call him faithful. But you know, it can be another reason that they're regular. They may be trying to get to heaven by not missing a day at church or something. And you can't. Don't get me wrong. We don't. Nothing that we do, none of our works or behavior has any effect on. We don't impress God. We can't come to God on the basis of our own goodness. We can only come on the basis of being a sinner. And that Christ died, paid the full debt for all of our sins. And he saves us. So faithfulness is that characteristic that allows a person to be depended on or dependable. Let's see what the scripture says. Paul, speaking to believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. We'll hit that one first, and then we'll go to, I've got some other ones listed here. Timothy, he mentions about faith in Philippians 2, 19 to 22, and then the characteristic of faithful people in the following verses, Philippians 2, 23 to 24. And he mentions Epaphroditus, a name you don't hear too often, in the following verses after that, Philippians 2, 25 to 30. Let's start off with 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And some related verses before we get to the Philippians group. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. We're talking about walking worthy. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's vain to trust your labor to save you, but he's talking to save people. 1 Corinthians 15, we're in verse 58, back all the way back at the beginning of chapter 15. That same chapter is where he tells people, he reminds them what he preached to them when he was there about how to be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, and 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Starting with 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be faithful. We need to be trustworthy, worthy of the trust God places in us. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. For this cause I have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. How does he pass it on? 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me. This is Paul talking to Timothy about propagating the gospel, passing it on. And it applies to us today. The things thou hast heard of me, of Paul, that would be, among many witnesses, the same, those things that you heard of Paul, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so it goes on, generation after generation, of the spiritual generation. Well, let's go to the Philippians verses. Look at what Paul said about Timothy. This would be Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly to you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. In other words, he's going to come and find out and then return to Paul and talk to him, tell him how they're doing in Philippi, in the church at Philippi there. Philippians 2:20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Verse 22, but you know the full, you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Pardon me. Well, let's look what Paul goes on to say about Epaphroditus in verse 25. Philippians 2:25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. This is after the end of Acts, in the writing of probably the first epistle after the end of Acts. But Paul had already lost his ability to have signs, the signs of an apostle, and to heal Epaphroditus. Lest I should, that I may... Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. That's it, the end of 27. So we'll go to 28 and 29 then. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. So we're talking about walking worthy, and this Epaphroditus as well as Timothy both had proved it over a period of time that they were trustworthy. They would walk worthy of the Lord and the commitment that the Lord had what the Lord had committed to them to minister, be fellow laborers, fellow soldiers and messengers in the Lord, ministers. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And Paul shows that the faithfulness of those two fellow workers allowed him to count them faithful and trustworthy. Look at verses 23 and 24. Philippians 2:23 says, him therefore I hope to send presently, So soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. That's interesting because it was written probably, I was going to say right after the end of Acts, but it's possible in those last two verses where it says he was imprisoned in Rome in a house with a guard to watch him, kind of a house arrest, almost freedom, but he was still bound. Restricted, put it that way. And he says, I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So he expects to be freed. And we can see that faith is the confidence and reliance that a person has in a person, group, or instruction that's given to him because of the person that gave the instruction. Faithfulness, on the other hand, is that confidence or reliance that a person or group can have in another person because of that other person's agreement and commitment to the person, group, or procedures. Faithfulness is the result of faith. Because of a person's faith, other people can put their faith in him, counting on him to be faithful to the job assigned to him or to whatever the duty is. A football team, whether it be Alabama Crimson Tide or Chicago Bears or whoever, if you run the same play without allegiance, you know, that the person viewing it, they're just looking, you know, say you're turning channels and you come on a football game and you don't care about either side, and you see a play, that was a great play. Did you see that run? Well, if you grew up in, let's say Alabama and Crimson Tide, you turn the channel and, oh, Crimson Tide comes on. Wow, man, oh man, did you see that play? That's the best yet. There's a difference when you've got allegiance to somebody, to something. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 to start with, and then we'll go to 2 Thessalonians. Faithful is he that calleth you. Well, that's good, but that means that he can be trusted, doesn't it? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you have to do those hard things? You have to be willing to let God do them in you. He will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Romans 6, 7, and 8 tell us that he's empowered us to make that choice, to let God live his life through us, to live by that inner man, the Spirit of God within us, rather than by our flesh and the choices that the flesh constantly tries to provide. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's how God calls us. The gospel is written down. It's in the Bible. Read it. Receive it. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a dud. It's a good result to it. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's look in Titus, and then we'll come back to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look in 2. Right now, let's look at Titus 1, 9. Titus 1, 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. doctrine is something, for it to be helpful, you have to learn it ahead of time. You have to learn it. It's teaching. It's what God teaches us through His Bible. We have to get into the Bible. That's why we're exhorted to study. Study. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. To be approved of God, not ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:13. Paul talking to Timothy about people that that Timothy has influence over, and it's talking about their believers and what happens if they stop believing. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And himself, if you recall, we're baptized as believers. The instant we believe, we're baptized into the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we're baptized into the body of Christ. He cannot deny himself. That's comforting, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 4:2 again. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Dependable. That God has our allegiance. 2 Timothy 2:11. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, and remember in Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, that's not talking about water, is it? Not being baptized into water, being baptized into Jesus Christ by the Spirit. As many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. 2 Timothy 2:13, two verses later, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Well, that's something to tell people about, isn't it? 2 Timothy 2:2, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. That's Paul talking. So it's Paul's statements, Paul's teaching, Paul's doctrine that was inspired to him by the Holy Ghost. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So, we need to believe on Christ, not just believe in him, that he exists, or that he died for sins. Believe your sin load onto him, you know, that he carried it to the cross and died your death. That's where salvation is, in believing on Christ. Trust him with all your allegiance, with your loyalty and faithfulness, trusting God who raised Christ, trusting God to save you from wrath by counting Christ's death to be your death, and having forgiven all your sins, having died for all your sins, counting God's righteousness to be your righteousness. Believe it. He said he imputes his righteousness to those who believe that Christ died for your sins. So that's what God offers in his Bible. Trust him. And then let God make you trustworthy and faithful. Walk worthy. Well, that's all I've got for today. I hope that it's been helpful, and maybe some of these things will come to your memory, or you can reread some of those verses. That's the source of our help, is God's Word. It edifies us. He edifies us through his Word. It's not a secret. It was a secret. Paul's epistles were. That's our news there. That's our instructions in Romans through Philemon, the letters that Paul wrote, the epistles. All right, any comments, questions before we close?